going to be 9 o'clock in the adult lounge. You can take it with you.
Is it time?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. If you're visiting with us, we would like to invite you. We would like to invite everybody to the coffee hour following worship. And we hope that you'll sign the hospitality register so that we can more formally welcome you to Gates. We have several announcements. Let's see, Linda and Jan.
Good morning. We're your dynamic duo in charge of Presbytery meeting next Saturday. Linda has some important things to tell you.
Hi, I'm Linda Beattie, and you know Jan Buettner. We're working on the details for the Presbytery meeting next Saturday. There's some information in your bulletin, and we want to let you know that you are all invited. We have a tentative agenda if you would like to see something. But basically, we need more help to set up on Friday night. We've opened up a time for setting up at 6:30. We have two setup times, one's at 2 and one's at 6:30, but we really need some people to help us at 6:30 from about 6:30 to 7:30 on Friday to set up tables and chairs. We also have a set up take-up downtime on Saturday about 1 o'clock. If you can come for that, that would be fine, too. We really appreciate the extra help. We have volunteers that will be working through lunchtime on Saturday, and if you are here, we're going to offer you pizza. So we hope that's a little bit of a perk to come and help out, too. But there's a sign-up sheet outside the sanctuary here. And okay, as far as last week's bulletin sort of indicated that if you came and worked, you would get a boxed lunch. That's not true.
Incorrect information.
You're going to have, if you're coming for the meeting, you probably have already signed up for a boxed lunch. But we will have pizza for the workers.
For volunteers.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope, just some extra hands would really be appreciated on Friday evening to set up this end of the building for all the breakout sessions. So if you could be here at 6:30 to give us a hand, we'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Mary?
All right, everyone's invited to be a senior high Sunday school person today. Yes. We've been studying the Old Testament all year long, and we got to Job. I bailed. I invited my good friend, Jim Mossgraber, to help us learn about the book of Job. If you've ever read it and been confused, today's your chance to come and listen to this story. Jim's put it into kind of a modern-day setting. He's made it fun, funny, and you can really learn what the story is all about, what the meaning is. So you're all invited. We'll meet at the back half of the fellowship hall. We'll start around 11:30. Thanks.
Thanks. Peter?
Boy, it's really like competing banjos. We have an alternative for the... and guess what we're offering? It's the last leg of the communication of connections journey, and it'll be in the adult lounge about 11:15. And we have, of course, our star is Reverend Melissa. And she tackles the simple question of who is God. And the answer is really amazing. We're going to talk about how we're connected to God, how God connects to us, and what does God ask for ours. And we have the great Connecticator talking.
There's more.
Oh, almost forgot. The retreat planning committee meets at Panera's Howard Road, 12:30.
Well, good morning. I think all I have to offer is chewing gum and lifesavers, but on Tuesday evening, the Mission Statement Committee is inviting all of you to come at 7 p.m. For an opportunity to let us know what you think the mission of the church should be going forward. So please take that opportunity Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Come here to the church and give us your 2 cents worth.
Good morning. You should have all received an invitation to attend the Coma concert on March the 30th. And I want to tell you that this group of over 50 women are fantastic, awesome. You don't want to miss this event. This is all within our Lenten season worship. And this is the first time we're going to have a gospel group singing here at Gates Church. So please, I urge you to come, bring your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your loved ones, and let's give them a warm Gates Presbyterian welcome. So see you all on the 30th.
Thanks. In confirmation class, I'd like to remind you that your required meeting was moved from next Sunday to Friday night. If you need more information, contact me, although I think you got a flyer in the mail. So let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship of Abel. A new day has dawned, and God's gift of life is renewed in you and me. For God gives us life and breath. Let us worship our life-giving God.
Please join your hearts and voices in a time of prayer. God of endless possibility, we confess that we do not always perceive the abundant opportunities you place before us, caught up in our own schedules, agendas, and timelines. We are slow to see the open pathways you set before us. Expand our imaginations so that we may accept the new life you offer us and thus share the living waters of the resurrected Christ. We bring our silent prayers of confession before God. Amen.
And could the children please come up? Good morning. Oh, I see a lot of happy faces and new faces today. Today, you see, I have some gardening tools and a pot. And I had really hoped to bring some plants today, but I was afraid they would die on the way. So we're just going to have to use our imagination a little bit. I had to literally pry these out of frozen ground to get them here today. But let me give you a little hint. Spring is coming because even though the dirt around these were frozen, the grass was sending down little fresh roots, and there were flocks of geese flying overhead. I don't know where they're going to land. The Irondequoit Bay is still frozen. The edge of the lake is still frozen. But they're coming back. So there are signs of spring, and it is coming. So we can live in hope for that. So last week I told you about how one great hour of sharing will feed people after an emergency. But once the emergency is over, then the people have to start getting back to a regular life. And one of the things that one great hour of sharing does for the people is they will help them start gardens. Maybe little gardens just for one or two families. And sometimes they'll help them start big gardens for whole communities. And they will give them the tools and the equipment and the seeds to start a new garden. And so we've been talking about small changes to make a big change. And that's something you might want to consider to do when it gets a little warmer and our climate allows us. Even a pot this big, you could build what's called a salad bowl. And you wouldn't have to buy lettuce all summer. You can just keep cutting it and keep getting fresh lettuce. Last summer, I had a tomato plant in a pot this size. And it was a very good tomato plant. And I didn't have to buy tomatoes all summer. I was able just to grow. Every time I wanted salad, I just went out and picked some tomatoes. And I was all set. So, and it's a fun thing to do. I can't wait to get out. It's going to be a little while before I can start my garden, but I can't wait to get started. So I want you to think about when you are working in your garden, that in some parts of the world, the money in your fish banks is helping people eat and helping people make their own way. So I want you to really enjoy today. And I see some new faces. So some of you, may not have your fish banks yet. So if you didn't get a fish bank yet, please be sure that you take one. And you can start putting your little change to make some big changes for other people in the world. Thank you. So you can go to Sunday school, all right? Bye. Do you need one? Good. You got yours.
I guess appropriately, the first reading is from Exodus, as they all do. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephinim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah. Because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
The second reading of the word this morning is from John. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman left her water jug and went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know this truly is the Savior of the world." The morning had been long. The sun had been hot. Jesus was tired. Jesus and his disciples were traveling from Judea to Galilee through Samaria. And this was an odd route for Jewish travelers. They usually avoided Samaria, even to the extent of taking a longer route around Samaria. For Samaritans and Jews simply didn't get along. It was a centuries-old ethnic dispute over political issues, land issues, and religious issues. And around the time of Jesus, the animosity had raised to the level of vicious hate crimes. It just wasn't safe for Jewish travelers to venture through Samaria. Yet, we find Jesus in Samaria. What was he thinking? Well, we really don't know what he was thinking as he sat by Jacob's well. But we do know, however, that his thoughts were soon interrupted by an unnamed Samaritan woman. He asked her for a simple drink of water, and the conversation begins. Really, Jesus, isn't showing up in Samaria enough to prove that you are a counterculture kind of guy? Do you have to carry on a conversation with the Samaritan woman? Who, by the way, in case you didn't notice, is alone. Samaritan, woman, alone. Just plain taboo. Just plain scandalous. Who is this woman? As the conversation unfolds, we discover that she's had 5 husbands. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 husbands. Biblical scholars have had a field day with that piece of information. Many say she is a prostitute, and the whole story is about forgiveness. Yet there's not a single formal declaration of forgiveness in this story. Others believe that she is just a very unlucky woman who has been widowed 5 times. Another scholar claims that her 5 husbands are metaphors for 5 false gods of the Samaritans. Actually, I have great respect for this woman at Jacob's well. She's independent. She's gutsy. But what I really love about her is she just doesn't mind being interrupted. But frankly, this woman is able to put her to-do list down, disregard her calendar, and in the process, discover the Messiah. She's my hero. I love the line of scripture that tells us, and I quote, "The woman left her water jug and went back to the city." She just doesn't let the task of life distract her from the divine. In fact, she does just the opposite. She lets the divine distract her from the task of life. And I don't think that's so easy, because I cram my calendar to the point that it's a crisis if an interruption shows up. Anybody identify with that? Well, as most of you know, I love Jamaica. Big news. But fewer of you know why. Oh, perhaps you think it's the hot sun in the winter, or the fresh fish every single night, or maybe the colors of the Caribbean Sea. Well, yes, and yes, and yes. but it's so much more. My love for Jamaica began many, many, many years ago. I had a leave behind my water jug kind of experience in Jamaica. And let me assure you, it wasn't because I made good decisions like the woman at Jacob's well. This leave behind my water jug experience was completely forced upon me. My first trip to Jamaica was in the mid-80s. I was working for Penfield Presbyterian Church. The Presbytery of Genesee Valley had recently signed a formal partnership with the Cornwall Council United Church of Jamaica. Part of the vision of this partnership was to have youth groups travel between the two churches. They needed someone to travel to Jamaica in order to explore the possibilities, the feasibility of this plan. Two weeks in Jamaica in the winter? An international travel experience? A little break from my children? Sign me up. The long and the short of this is that the Presbytery did send me to Lucy, Jamaica on this fact-finding trip. I had an ambitious to-do list. Find a place for groups to stay. Develop a contact in Jamaica. Locate the nearest hospital. Explore the work possibilities. Sample the restaurants. Check out the beach. And on and on and on. I left Rochester equipped with my pen, my pad, and my questions. And I arrived in Jamaica fired up and ready to start checking off my to-do list. Pastor of the Lucy United Church of Jamaica, Reverend Young, welcomed me at the Montego Bay Airport. He drove me to his manse in Lucy, where I met his wonderful family. And I just might add that pastors in Jamaica are provided with very nice manses. And this one was no exception. Reverend Young's home sat on the top of a hill, and it overlooked the Caribbean Sea. Really, honestly, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Warm weather, the sea, and again, a break from my family and job, not to mention prepared meals. This was going to be a fine time. Well, after dinner, Reverend Young begins to tell me his plans for my 2 weeks. Actually, I wouldn't be staying at the manse, but would be staying up in the mountains with a family from one of his churches. Okay, it wasn't the beach, but the mountains are beautiful, and it will still warm in February. I was sure it would be a great spot to start marking off my to-do list. And as we drove on the dirt road that went deeper and deeper into the mountains, we also drove away from all that was familiar and all that was comfortable and all that ordered my life as I knew it. I began to feel a knot. Reverend Young finally stopped the car in front of a very small Jamaican home. He helped me to get my luggage out of the car, an embarrassing big suitcase of just plain stuff. And then he announced that he would pick me up in 2 weeks. Wait a minute! What about my to-do list?
I had work to do. I was on assignment. You'll get it done, he gently said. It just will be done differently than you had planned. And he drove down the dirt road to his manse that overlooked the Caribbean Sea. The Jamaican family embraced me as a member of their own family. Their home was full of love. But it had no electricity, no running water, no telephone, or any other thing that I had defined as a necessity. Rainwater was collected in barrels. It was then distributed in small bowls for bathing. Drinking water was retrieved from the community pipe in the middle of the village, the one and only pipe that brought the municipal water to the village. Some laundry was done in the front yard with water from the rain barrel, but other loads were taken up the mountain to the river. The father of the family was a farmer, and on Saturday, he and his wife walked down the mountain to the market in Lucy, where they sold their products. Sunday was all about church, a 40-minute walk to church, a 40-minute walk home. You folks know how much I like to exercise. And then a 40-minute walk back to church for the evening activities, and then a 40-minute walk back home. The bathroom was an outhouse, and the night facilities were a bedpan stored under my bed. Meals were cooked on an open fire outside in the front yard. Refrigeration? There wasn't any. Nightly entertainment was hymns sung on the front porch, and the stars provided a brilliant light show. The family rooster was also the family alarm clock. Calendars, to-do lists, clocks, the very things that had dictated my life. In fact, the very things I thought would plot my Jamaica trip were now totally useless. The stuff in my life had been ripped away and replaced by a simplicity that was both horrifying and completely eloquent. All at the same time. When I raised my hand and said, "Sign me up," this was not what I had imagined. I was homesick. I battled with culture shock. I worried about my family, and I wondered, why did Reverend Young think that this was an appropriate way to explore the possibilities of youth trips to Jamaica? Yet as the days rolled on, I discovered a richness in the simplicity, and I became appalled at my own wastefulness. I'm still dismayed by it, and particularly surrounding water usage. When you have to walk 30 minutes to the village plumbing pipe to get water to brush your teeth, you just don't waste water. Letting the water flow freely while you scrub your teeth is no longer acceptable. And, to be honest, I wondered about my own faith commitment. Where was God in the middle of all of this? And would I go to church on Sunday morning if I had to walk 40 minutes to get there and back? It was 2 weeks of intense soul searching. And the good news was I had the space and I had the time to do it. And I came to realize that such space, such time is a pure blessing. Eventually, the scarcity of creature comforts were completely overshadowed by the generosity of this Jamaican family, overshadowed by the unhindered way in which I could experience what was happening around me. And in the midst of this life-changing experience, I fell in love with Jamaica. I fell in love with Jamaicans, and I fell in love with God in new and transforming ways. Ways that began slow, very slow, step by step dance towards simplicity. Ways that opened my heart to the diversity of the global community. Ways that continue to impact my life. Well, as promised, Reverend Young returned in 2 weeks. And we went back to his manse. And he asked me if I thought Jamaica was a good place, for youth mission sites. After all, that had been my assignment, my purpose for the trip. Stop. I wanted to scream, absolutely. And yet, I had not checked one thing off of my to-do list. I asked them why he chose the sink or swim style of learning. Well, he said, I had to be sure that you completely understood that mission work is not about doing for. Not about bringing your expertise to the site. Not really even about taking God to the scene. It is instead primarily about learning from. It's about receiving from, and it's about taking God's story from the experience. It's about being transformed by the encounter you will surely have with God through God's people. And with a twinkle in his eye, he said, you know, sometimes you suburban types, you don't even let God interrupt your efficiency. Oh, and that brings me back to my hero, the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. This woman did let God interrupt her efficiency. And in doing so, she made space to hear the voice of Jesus. Indeed, when we allow ourselves the time and the space, we encounter God each and every day of our lives in places as close as our homes, in places very far away. It's a lesson I learned in the mountains of Jamaica. Now, I confess, I'm constantly relearning the lesson. I'm still guilty of cramming my calendar way too full. And I try to remember that God gives us abundant time, even eternal. eternal time. Isn't that abundantly enough? Amen.
We gather before God in a time of prayer. You are invited to share your prayers of joy or concern aloud with the congregation. Please raise your hand so an usher may bring a microphone and a reminder to hold that microphone close so we can all hear you. No, that's good. Then we can hear you. It's good.
Okay. Last July, Reverend Don Brome was here and did a co-preaching gig with Melissa. I wanted to let you know that he has had a major heart attack and had bypass surgery and will be out of commission for a while. So if you could pray for his quick recovery. Thank you.
Amen. Prayers for Pastor Don.
Hi, Jan Buettner. I'd like prayers for two very close friends of mine. One, Cindy, has been going through interferon treatments for melanoma and did fairly well with it till her liver gave her serious trouble. And my friend Doris in Florida has had some heart issues and is going to be going in for angioplasty very soon. So prayers for both of them. Thank you.
Prayers for Cindy and for Doris. Thank you.
Roy Smith, prayers of joy. Our family has a new nephew as of Tuesday. Maybe Silas, and we're going to have a new niece any day now. In fact, keeping my phone close at hand.
So. Prayers for the additions to your family, Roy.
Dick Stewart. I teach in MCC, and I have a colleague. His name is Jan. Jan is about 83, we think. He doesn't divulge his age. He's still actively teaching. He escaped Nazi Poland at age 9. He has quite a history. He's in dire straits. He has a respiratory disorder and may not have long to live. So I just ask that you offer up Jan in your prayers.
Prayers for Jan.
Some while back, I asked for prayers for a friend of ours who went in for some bypass surgery. Well, he came home and then went back into the hospital again for further complications, and he came home and went back in again for some pneumonia problems, and he's finally home and they've medically cleared him. So thank you for your prayers.
Carol Ann, I was expecting an altar call this morning. And I felt that way during the prayer, or during that song. God's been with us today in your sermon. Thank you very much.
Thanks be to God. And prayers from our children this morning as well. Prayers for a grandfather so he can take his neck brace off soon. Prayers for birthdays. Hooray for Peter Pan. Also, prayers of joy for a new pet, a gecko. Prayers for basketball, of course. And prayers for the Miss Saigon performance at Greece Athena. Prayers for our troops and our veterans. Prayers for the people of Ukraine. Prayers for Jen Tuttle having surgery on April 4th. And prayers of joy for cookie cake in Sunday school. Prayers for the parents who have to pick up those children who have eaten the cookie cake following Sunday school.
Did that say that on there?
Yes, it does. Okay, no, the parents. Let us continue our time of prayer. Gracious God, as Jesus welcomed an outcast woman and spoke with her without judgment, drawing her closer to you, so help us to always practice your radical hospitality to those who identify themselves as outcasts in the world today. For those who must flee their home, countries due to war and hunger and suffering as they seek a better life. God, we pray for those people who now live on the streets surrounding us and in shelters and in neighborhoods throughout Rochester and our nation. For those folks longing for safety and warmth, clean water and nourishing food, we pray. And within this house of prayer, loving God, where we are refreshed by your living water and the abundance of eternal time, we turn our prayers toward the hunger and thirst of the wider world. Hear our prayers for those who suffer, want of deprivation of body and of soul, for those living in places of political and economic uncertainty, for the people of Ukraine, for Russia and Crimea. Compassionate Lord, there are many other concerns upon our hearts at this time, concerns for those who are close to us and for those who are far off. And we have remembered them in our hearts as we have named them with our words of our lips. And God, we also pray for Isabella, the daughter of Anne and Wayne Smith, who has returned to the hospital this weekend. God, we ask for prayers for all those who are sick and longing for health, for those who are mourning, for those who are grieving. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. And all of these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us with thanksgiving offer back to God a portion of our abundance with this morning's offering.
Lord, every Sunday we come and we give and we ask your blessings and your guidance in the use of our gifts. These are tangible gifts, and today we ask for the intangible. We ask you to open our eyes to the gifts we have from within. Guide us to share our inner gifts so that everyone we meet sees Jesus in our eyes and God on our faces. Amen.
O God, your grace flows through us.
May the new life that flows into us also flow through us.
Amen.